Let's give Gospel Choir a little love. Thank you very much, Roberto. Peace of the Lord be with you. Hey, quick community announcement. Hope Neighbors Community, it's an intentional off-campus community that we're going to be helping to sponsor along with student development next year. If you're interested in kind of growing in issues of community formation and growing in your faith and discipleship together with some other Hope students off-campus living in a neighborhood, we want to invite you today from 4 to 6 to an open house at 347 Washington Street. That's 347 Washington. And there'll be a shuttle bus going from the Keppel House at 4 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. And just feel free to show up if you want to learn more about an off-campus residential experience. So, hey, this morning I got a letter from one of my good friends, Cars. For you freshmen, I have an old friend from grad school at the University of St. Andrews. She's the dean of the chapel at Despondent University in upstate Washington in Wantmore County. And occasionally, she sends me a letter. And I sometimes just like to read them because I find them sometimes corresponding to things that are going on campus here. So with your permission, I'd like to read this letter. Is that okay today? All right. This is our first Despondent You letter of the season. Dear Trigvi, it's October on the campus of Despondent You. It's hard to accept that this is my first posted letter this year. The first quarter, from orientation to fall break, always feels like an intractable current, carrying me into the rapids that demand full attention and no space for sanguine reflection. So I'm glad for some space today to write a letter to an old friend. I've been especially enjoying this October. We have been experiencing one of those rare Indian summers, that meteorological phenomenon of considerably above normal temperatures accompanied by dry and hazel conditions. I love the fall here. It's warm and cool at the same time. It's the season of apple cider with cinnamon sticks, red scarves, college game day on Saturday afternoons, orange pumpkins, candy corn. Dried leaves scratching concrete like fingernails clinging to the last bit of summer. October always feels like an early U2 record. Gritty, haunting, sadness mixed with hopeful anticipation of change. In October, it's the trees around campus that I love the most. The groves of trees and that line Despondent Use campus explode with yellow, red, and orange. The canopy makes our campus blaze like a sunrise as the trees gladly give back the light slowly absorbed from the sunbeams of summer. I can't help but think of Jesus' words. Even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. I think it's these changing colors that help make the fall a romantic season. There's something about the changing and falling leaves, the intentional preparation for winter that makes people want to just find someone to snuggle up to. It's at least a pattern I see on campus. I see them every day walking past the window of my study at Revelation Memorial Chapel, gently brushing hands, subtly catching eyes, walking slow enough so shoulder kisses shoulder, underneath the bright canopy of foliage like characters in a romantic comedy. Yes, it's October, and people are falling in love. Your October rule is null and void. And the game is on. But I've been thinking just because one can date does not know that one knows how to date. I was reminded of this the other day when I was getting my morning cup of coffee at Life's Hard Cafe, where the motto is, life's hard. Have a cup of coffee. I sat down at my usual table near the center of the shop where I'm well positioned to eavesdrop on numerous conversations at the same time. I like to sit there pretending to be reading a book, but actually, I'm just eavesdropping. I know it's not right, but it's my guilty pleasure. And I get some of my best stuff that way. The other day, I was pretending to be reading some poems by T.S. Eliot when my ears, like a satellite, picked up a conversation conducted in soft, hushed tones. It was clearly a DTR gone bad. The young woman, I'll call her Abby, was breaking up with a young man I'll call Johnny. And she said, it's not me, it's you. from the corner of my eye, I could see Johnny looking puzzled and questioning. Don't you mean it's me and not you? No, she said sympathetically, it's you. It's really, really you. Johnny, you just don't have no idea how to date a woman. Johnny said, what do you mean? I thought we were having a good time. Abby said, I mean, really, for our second date, all you wanted to do was play a video game where the whole goal was to shoot animals. Yeah, so, he said. Johnny, I'm a vegetarian. No, I know Johnny. He's a good guy. I like him a lot. He's conscientious, hardworking, and exceedingly dateable. He could be a catch if he could just figure a few things out. But honestly, Abby was right. The boy just has no idea what he's doing. It's a shame because Abby is awesome. Later that day, I strolled back to Life's Hard Cafe for my 3 o'clock cup and saw Johnny sitting alone, looking, well, sad, nursing a cold vanilla latte. I sat next to him and asked how he was doing. I've been better, he said. And I confessed that I had happened to overhear part of his morning carefrontation. He sighed, and he said, I just don't understand. I thought she would really like playing the video game. So we sat there and talked. And in our conversation, Johnny asked a question that stuck with me by its simplicity and bluntness. Karis, he asked, how do you date? I think it's an appropriate question, and I appreciate his honesty. Where is Johnny supposed to learn how to date? In this brave new world where boundaries are fluid and roles constantly changing, how does any young adult know how to negotiate the dating scene without a model of choose your own adventure? Johnny is growing up in a culture where there are few, if any, cultural norms on how to go about navigating a healthy relationship, especially at the beginning. Honestly, does Johnny even have a chance in a world where the cultural guides and models for him to follow come from the Kardashians? No wonder Johnny's confused. Listening to Johnny's angst, I wonder if breakups and the heartache that follows could be reframed if there were better dating patterns for him. I mean, if we are not ready to go back to arranged marriages, if we are not going to kiss dating goodbye, and I don't think that we should, then how does Johnny go about dating? What does that look like practically? So I thought for a theme around my first letter this year, I would take up Johnny's question and test out a few ideas for you to consider and respond to. Maybe we can open up a line of conversation on some pastoral wisdom around some questions about dating, romance, and sexual habits. Here is what I told Johnny, and let me test it out on you. I said, let me begin with a few words of caution. I think it's important to be clear that dating is not a formula. I don't believe there is any one way to think or go about how to date. Relationships are, well, relationships. And relationships are messy. We don't date or marry a list. We date or marry a person. Which is maybe why the Bible is not a how-to book in dating. How-to books usually make people into projects to win or use or conquer, rather than learn how to love and serve. And though Holy Scripture offers a lot of wisdom about how to nurture a relationship, although it doesn't tell us how to all the time, the Scripture says love is patient and love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things and hopes all things and endures all things. In other words, Scripture does not give us an outline of how to date, but it does remind us that love, which dating can nurture, is about pursuing the dignity and health of another person and not oneself. It seems to me that dating, then, should try to build foundations that lead to that kind of wisdom for another. In other words, dating is not about serving the self. Rather, it is an opportunity for the self to serve. A second word of caution is to identify what is not a date. Quote, randomly running into someone on purpose at the coffee shop, knowing they will be there, is not called a date, it's called stalking. Flirting on the Facebook is not a date, it's a fancier form of passing notes in fifth grade class. Hooking up with somebody you just met at a party is not a date, it's a bad idea. Here's another word of caution. If you go on a date, it does not mean you have to be ready to be engaged and get married to that person. Golly gee whiz, slow down, y'all. Learn the names of their family members before you start planning the wedding. Okay, these are a few things to avoid, but here are a couple suggestions for Johnny on how to date. And real quickly, top five, in no particular order. Johnny, the first things first, secure the date. Show some confidence, ask her out. Gentlemen, texting does not count. Despite popular opinion, women actually like it when a man steps up and takes some initiative. You are not in junior high anymore. Play the man, step to the plate, take a risk. You don't date her if you don't ask her. It's a rule. How you begin a relationship is huge for trust building. And if she says no, at least you showed her the respect of putting yourself out there, and she gave you the respect of giving you an honest answer. Second, I think it's a good idea to use a date to work at the art of conversation. Use a date to actually get to know another person. Engage verbally before engaging physically. It's a lot healthier. Come prepared on a date to ask good questions. Begin with information questions and then build into questions of deeper significance. For example, don't lead off with, "So how many children would you like to have?" Learn to read the signs. Follow leads. The best way to be a good conversationalist is to be interested more in the other person than the sound of your own voice. There's something really intimate about a great conversation, and the best things are often free. Which leads me to my third suggestion, is simply to have a plan for a date. Johnny, if you ask the girl out, give a date some thought. It's honoring for her and more fun for you. Take advantage of things that are free, but that give you both a shared experience to talk about. Take advantage of community resources. Go for a walk, see a movie at the Nick, attend a concert, attend a lecture, pretend you're reporters and interview random people on the sidewalk. Play a game, do some work, find out what she likes and plan accordingly. Gentlemen, structure is freedom. Have a plan, Johnny. Have a plan. Fourth, a great way to get to know someone is to plan an evening with other friends. It takes some pressure off, and it's also good to see how another person handles a group setting. Also, group dating can also give some needed buffer from the temptation to get too physical too fast. Remember that dating should be fun. Go on a date with some fun friends. And fifth and finally, after a date, be upfront and honest. Have good communication. It's okay to say you're not interested. It's okay to say you are interested. It's not okay to keep dating someone because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Here's the deal. Dating is about the process of intimacy, and intimacy requires trust, and trust demands vulnerability and honesty. If you like the person, own it. If you're not interested after a date, that's okay too. Just honor each other by being honest. And again, do this face-to-face, not through Skype, not through Facebook, not on a phone call. Talk to each other. Johnny, above all, the key to finding the right person is to remember to be the right person. Be upfront. Don't play games with another's emotions. If you don't know what you want, don't linger in a romantic relationship because you are bored. Don't treat dating like a sport. Use dating as an opportunity to bless and build up another person. And if you do, you'll both have more fun. Okay, so those are my October thoughts. What do you think? Write me back and let me know what your suggestions might be. And maybe we could write a book for our students. Well, that's all the news from Despondent U, where the women are smart, the men are deep and a little confused, and the professors are above average. Grace and peace, Karis. It's October, my friends, and people are falling in love. And as you do so, love each other well in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go in peace.